thank you for joining us for another powerful message from the teaching ministry of Destiny Church. We hope that you'll be challenged and stretched to grow through today's message. But most of all, we hope that you'll encounter the Father's love. If you're in the greater Mobile Bay Area, please join us for our weekend worship celebration. Or if you're looking for a church family excited for a revival, please come join us in bringing heaven to earth.
So today, I want to dive into just a single message that's hopefully going to prepare you for this next 21 days, not starting tomorrow, but a week from today. But I want to set us up for success, and I really want to share with you why we're doing this, because a lot of times people will do 21-day fast, at the beginning of the year. Honestly, man, I'm not a ritual person, and if a whole bunch of people start doing it, I almost don't want to do it. I'm not saying that's the right thing to do. I'm just saying I don't want to ever do something just because it's ritualistic. And so the reason we're doing this is we believe that God has called us to a season of fasting. We weren't looking for it. God just spoke it to us. And in the mouth of two or three witnesses that were really not talking to each other, God was highlighting fasting to this house. And so we're going to enter into a 21-day fast, and we would like for you to be a part of it. I want to set you up for success for fasting, because if I can be, just completely transparent with you, I hated fasting. Like, because number one, I like food, and, I probably learned how to fast wrong or just in a religious context. And I just never had people to teach me a whole lot about fasting. And then as I grew in the Lord, meaning I started going eating for myself and not just what my preacher gave me, I started reading books on fasting, and I started investigating fasting, and I started learning, that's why I have headaches all the time when I fast, because I was doing it wrong. I was just going cold turkey, getting off of, I'm just telling you, if you hook yourself up to an IV of caffeine every day and you rip that sucker out, the next day your body is going to say, oh, no, you ain't a bad boy. I'm fixing to, show you who's in control of your body. So you have to do things, and this is what I want you to do. If you are not familiar with the concept of fasting, the biblical discipline of fasting, you can go to our website, ourdestinychurch.com. You can go to our website. If you don't know where our website is, why not? If you've been here for any length of time, you should know our website. And right at the very top, you can click on one of the links and I want to know more about or something like that. And there's a whole section about fasting that a little menu will drop down, and it will tell you how to fast, kinds of fasting, how to prepare yourself. In other words, if you're going to fast, don't eat like a pig all this week and expect to cut it off. Begin now. You're a week out. Begin now to kind of scale back in some areas. Begin now to prepare your body. Begin now to prepare your schedule, because your schedule is as much of a part of a fast as just doing without food. You've got to create time in your schedule, because fasting is all about intentionality. And so why are we doing this? In Joel 1:14, the prophet, God is speaking, and he's saying, I want you to announce a time of fasting. That's what I'm doing right here. I want you to announce a time of fasting. Call the people together for a solemn meeting, a solemn assembly. Bring the leaders and all the people of the land into the temple of our Lord, your God, and cry out to him there. You know what 2 Chronicles 7:14, we can probably quote that by heart. If my people will humble themselves and pray. That's the very virtue of all prayers, when we begin to cry out to God. God is not moved by our need. If God was moved by need, he is an infinitely resourceful God. He is the only self-sufficient God. He's got everything that we need at his fingertips. We quote scriptures like he owns the cattle on 1,000 hills and all of these things. God's not moved by our need. He's moved by our faith. He's moved by our obedience. Obedience is better than sacrifice, is what the Lord's word says. And so God is moved when we humble ourselves, when we cry out to him, and when we turn from our sin, our wicked ways, when we seek him with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength. So this is something that I'm calling you to join me, the spiritual leaders of our church, the intercessors of our church, into a time of fasting. I don't fully understand the focal point. I do, but I'm like, God, you know, is there a specific purpose? I believe the purpose is going to be made known as we dive into it deeper and deeper. But there was a prophetic word in this house within the last several months. And in that prophetic word, Amy, I don't even know if you have that word recorded. Do you know if you ever got that one? Because it was not at an unexpected moment. But in that, the Lord just said this statement three times: prepare the way, prepare the way, prepare the way. And he didn't give any explanation to that. I'm telling you, I've heard the Lord say to me, set my house in order. And so I heard one thing, and I, because I'm an administrative and organizational type person, I started doing one thing and later found out, like, man, I didn't take time to hear from God. I heard what he said, but that wasn't the intent or motive that he intended for me. And so I'm over here doing all of this stuff, and God's like, that's not what I meant. I meant prepare this way. And so he said, prepare the way, prepare the way, prepare the way. Man, anytime God begins to speak redundantly, which he never speaks redundantly, by the way. Anytime he begins to repeat himself, it's like, hey, this is important. Pay attention. It is time for the house of destiny to begin to understand, God, what do you mean by prepare the way? We're going to seek you during this season. And so in Mark chapter 9, I want you to turn there, because we're going to go in scripture here in just a little bit about fasting. This is something that I don't think a whole lot of pastors preach on or teach on, because honestly, very few people like to do this. It's a discipline. Discipline is not as fun as hobbies and vacation and, you know, fun things to do. Discipline is all about bringing myself under control. It's all about me growing to a different level, a deeper level. And as I was telling you a little bit earlier, fasting, man, for a large part of my life has not been one of my favorite things to do, because I believe I was just thrown into the deep end of the pool without a lot of discipleship, without a lot of good teaching on how to fast. First of all, why do we fast? My thing was, we just don't do food. I remember we were in a fast one time as a church. I was just a brand new baby Christian. This is a church Shay and I grew up in. I got saved under the pastor that I'm about to talk to you about. Love that family, love the pastor. But we were in a fast. And I would hang out with his daughter a lot. And we're about the same age. And one Sunday afternoon, she was like, hey, we're going to go to McDonald's and pick up some food. And this goes to show you, like, man, if you don't explain stuff right to kids, I mean, we're like, you know, 16 years old. We just got our license, you know, we're driving and we're excited, man. You want a hamburger? We'll go get a hamburger. They volunteering for everything, you know, to drive when they first get it. You know, they got their license a year or two and they don't want to do nothing. And I don't want to go anywhere, run any errands. But we wanted to run this errand. And I was like, I thought we were on a fast. And she said to me, yeah, we can't tell anybody because we don't want to let the church know that my dad is eating. All right? So here's the thing. That sounds really bad if you don't give the context or you're not trained in fasting. Like, maybe he was fasting, two meals a day, and that was his one. But I didn't know that because I was a baby Christian, and my understanding of fasting was, man, we're fasting for 40 days and 40 nights with no food and just water. That's what I thought because I was a baby, ignorant Christian. And so when I heard that, just something came over me that it's like, oh, this is fake. Like, this is just fake. And I don't think he was being fake at all. I just felt like maybe they mismanaged some of like, you know, you should have versed your daughter better in, if anybody sees you going to McDonald's, ask you who you're getting food for, blah, blah, blah. You know what I'm saying? Or just eat a sandwich at the house or something like that. But I was under that very legalistic mindset, I thought you had to do without food. Nobody told me that there were different ways you could fast. Nobody ever told me that. Nowadays, we watered fasting, and listen, I don't want this to mess your thinking up because I know some of you are not going to fast food. You'll fast something else. And hey, praise the Lord, I'm just glad you're getting along with God. But we've watered fasting down so much that, man, we don't give up any food, and we're going to give up social media for, 21 days or 21 minutes or whatever it is. And I'm like, when I look at that, I go, whoop-de-doo, man, I'm telling you, this is a time of sacrifice and getting alone with God, because if there's not an aloneness, there's a drawing close to God. You're just taking a diet. That's just a little diet that you own for a little bit. It's about drawing close to God. It's about drawing in to Him. And so I want to set us up for, why are we fasting? So number one, why do we fast? Why do we do this? And I want you to look at our scripture, Mark chapter 9, and I believe we're going to find the answers in here. Now, I'm going to read a lot of scripture. I read a lot of scripture last week. I'm going to read a lot today, all right? But we get some context behind this. So if you can, follow along on your, you should always be following along in a physical Bible or some kind of digital device, because I'm just telling you, if your eyes are not hitting it, you're not getting the depth just by listening to me. That's the least effective way to learn. You'll forget 90% of what I say before you leave this building. It's all about practical application, okay? When you take notes, your retention level goes up even further, all right? So in John chapter 9, what's happening is we are getting ready to go into this place of the transfiguration. So going to the mountaintop transfiguration is what we call it, the Mount of Transfiguration. But it's when Jesus had this supernatural transcendent experience. And let me see, I want to check a couple of things real quick. All right. So why do we fast? Pastor, why are we fasting? And here's the very simple reason for all of that. It's about presence and it's about power. Presence and power. Say those with me. Presence, God's presence, and God's power. All right? So there is a distinct, a direct correlation between how much time we spend with God and how much power we have over Satan's schemes. Like, I don't know where you spend time with God. We're spending time with God, or should be, in this room. Now, I understand, everybody in this room, you may not be in the presence of God. You might be in the omnipresence, but I don't want to just be in the omnipresence. I'm in the omnipresence of God when I take a shower, when I cut my yard, when I dig weeds out of the flower beds, when I'm driving down the road. I'm in the omnipresence whether I'm aware of it or not. I want to be in the manifest presence of His glory. And so in the presence of God, there's a direct correlation between how much time we spend in God's presence and how much power we have over Satan's schemes. Hopefully this is not, but for many people it is. Hopefully this is not your main meal of the week. Like you understand, when for years I thought this was where I come to be fed. That's totally backwards. This is where I come to serve the Lord. He is the audience. Worship's not for me. For years, I thought, I'm going to get my worship on, man. I'm going to get my praise on. I'm going to get my shout on. No, dude, that is such a shallow look at things. He's the audience. We come to offer up our offerings and our service and our giving to Him for the kingdom's sake. I eat out there. Like, whatever I get in here is just a byproduct of being in the presence of God. But man, where are you spending time with the Lord? Because I'm telling you, people who spend time with the Lord, they also have battles with the devil, but they are more successful than people who are not in the presence of God. I'm just telling you, if you come to church once a week or once every quarter, and I'm just being honest with you, there are some folks that they come to church, you know, every 3 or 4 weeks, some of them every couple of months. There are people that that come to Destiny every now and then, and I don't know where your church is. I don't know if you consider this your church or not. They're not here, obviously, or maybe you did slip in and this is your one day. You know, but I don't know what some people, if they call this their church, because, like, I don't know where you are spiritually. I don't know, like, you don't even know what's going on in the house because your time with the family of God is so sporadic. And in Acts chapter 2, there was a coming together of the body of Christ. Man, if I could just get on a little soapbox right here for a second. I saw the other day in Daphne, what's happening in Daphne? And a lady that she's like, hey, we're moving from the north and we're going to come down to all of you southerners because we're just cold up here and we just want to be with you guys down there. And we're looking for a church. And all our northerners, you love my voice, don't you? And we want an Acts 2:42 church. And I'm like, huh. Now, if you go read Acts 2:42, see, I know those verses well. I'm like, what I wish she wanted was an Acts 2:43 church. Because Acts 2:42 is all about me. It's all about sharing meals and having fellowship and having fun events and friends and everything. But Acts 2:43 talks about a church filled with awe of signs and wonders and moving and miracles and the Holy Ghost. That's the day we live in, man. People want, I'm just telling you, I decided years ago to shoot myself in the foot for church growth. I mean, I knew I was going to do it, and I knew it was going to hurt. I'm like, here it goes. Because we're not going to be the church that we're going to have Cirque du Soleil in our parking lot. I'm serious. There's a church here in Daphne. They had a literal Cirque du Soleil. You know, we're not going to be the church that has Cirque du Soleil in their parking lot to get you in the house. We're not going to be the church that does all of these things to draw a crowd. Because what happens is when you get a crowd, what happens is you're being lazy on evangelism and you're trying to get people to church who aren't saved, that don't know how to worship, they don't understand spiritual things, so you can't do those things. They don't understand spiritual gifts. They don't understand prophetic things. They don't understand apostolic ministry. So you can't do those things in those places. And that's what this gathering is for. It's an equipping of the saints kind of thing. But we've turned it into, this is our revival to go get people evangelized. No, my friend, that's all wrong. This is the gathering of the saints where we offer up incense to our Father. And now you're fixing to go out there and you're going to be a witness to people in the community so that people like Ivania come to Christ.
Ivanya didn't come to Christ in this building. She came to Christ because somebody was witnessing and evangelizing her because they were sent. Are you following me? So it's all about this power and presence that correlate with each other. And so what can we expect when we're fasting? And this is what you can expect. Warfare. Warfare. Nobody told me that when I started fasting, all hell started breaking loose. And I'm like, this ain't easy. Why in the heck would I bring this upon myself? So if that's the case, well, then I'm just not going to fast. I'm just not going to do it. And I just want to tell you that we're going to have warfare regardless. We're going to have warfare regardless. He's coming after you because his mission is to kill, steal, and destroy, according to John 10:10. And you're going to have warfare regardless. The difference is when I fast, when I draw close to the Lord, I receive a power, anointing that is greater than if I didn't fast. When I'm in his presence, I receive the tools that I need to fight the enemy. I'm just telling you that when I thought as a young Christian that once I become saved, all my troubles go away. That's what I thought. I just thought it was so great to be a Christian. But I found out that it was a call to an upside down kingdom. And I found out that when I suffer with Christ, it brings him glory. I found out I was going to be in warfare. And for somebody who hates conflict, man, I just want us to all get along. I'm just telling you, I'm a happy person. I don't like conflict. I want to get along with everybody. And I'm just telling you, if you ever want people to hate you, if you ever want people to dislike you, slander you, you know, accuse you of all kinds of crazy things, become a pastor. Become a pastor. Nobody told me that. It's probably good they didn't tell me that. Or being a person who hates conflict, I probably would have gone a different direction. I'll just be an accountant. You know, I'll just work at Walmart restocking the shelves or something. You know, because there are days I want to say, take this job and shove it. I ain't working here no more. I mean, you know, but it's because I spend time in the presence of God that he's like, son, you know, I'm teaching you lessons. I'm equipping you. I'm changing your outlook and mindset on things. And I'm giving you a power that's greater to overcome the enemy. So when we get into his presence, it's when we begin to find this power. We tap into a power source. I'm just telling you, man, I've been through some things in my life before Christ, and I've been through some things in my life after Christ, that without the power of God, I would not have survived. Some of y'all have watched me walk through things that it's like, man, I'm a zombie other than the power of God. The grace of God, the unmerited favor of God is just keeping me going. So what do we get? What can we expect? You can expect warfare. You can expect warfare. What's our weapon? Well, our weapon is going to be the Word of God. In Luke chapter 4, that's Jesus where he was dragged, literally. That's when he was led, the scripture says he was, in the Greek, it pretty much means he was dragged by the Holy Spirit. He wasn't pushed. He was dragged into the wilderness by the Holy Spirit. And in the wilderness, every time the enemy came to him, remember, warfare, that's what you can expect. Every time the enemy came to him, what did he pull out? He pulled out the Word of God, which wasn't in this format for Jesus, of course. And every time the enemy was defeated, the Word of God is powerful. The Word of God is powerful. If you'll just go read that at some time over the next week or so, Luke chapter 4, you'll see that there wasn't any negotiation. I'm telling you, the Word of God is powerful. When you know how to use it and you have the authority of the believer that we have, you can just speak the Word. And there's no lengthy, it's just like, you know, come on, man. Speak the Word. And every time the Word was spoken, the enemy left. Now, he did come back. and he left. He did come back and he left. And even the third time, the scripture said that the enemy left until his next opportunity. I'm just telling you. Listen to me, my friend. If that's Jesus' model, there's not a time in your life that you're going to be absent from the enemy coming, tempting, trying to destroy. It's for the rest of your life. It's for the rest of your life. But praise be to God that we have the God of the universe on our side. And not only has he given us his word, but he's put his word in us and given us the authority to speak the word. Yeah. Amen? And so, like, there's no negotiating with the devil. Many times we don't understand our authority. I do this myself at times, and I have to remind myself, wait. I don't have to negotiate with you. I don't even have to have any more of this conversation with you. It's done. It's finished. The end. I'm moving on. All right? So that's how we have to get it with things in our mind. But the enemy is so crafty. He's so subtle. He's so smart that he knows how to get here, man. He knows how to get here. That's why when you fill your spirit, fill your mind with the word of the Lord, I'm telling you, the enemy will come to you and you won't even be able to find it. It'll be some crazy verse over in Ezekiel 13. And you'll never remember that, but you'll remember the substance of the verse and it'll well up inside of you. Listen, it don't matter. The devil don't care because we put those designations so where we will know where to go and find it. But the enemy, all he knows is the word, is the word, is the word, and he responds to the word. Listen, he does not have a choice. He responds to the word. So I want you to say this with me. Time spent in God's presence increases power over my enemy. Say it with me. Time spent in God's presence increases power over my enemy. So let's go to Mark chapter 9. Mark chapter 9. And as we go there, I want to read Luke chapter 9, because in Luke chapter 9, it says it just a little differently, and I want to point this out. Could somebody check the air? I'm burning up. I feel like I'm literally on fire. So Luke chapter 9 says it a little different, and it leaves out the word prayer, all right? It says it in you'll see how we're going to see it now in Mark here in a minute. But in Luke chapter 9, it says, about 8 days later, Jesus took Peter, John, and James up on the mountain to pray. That's the part that it leaves out, or it says it differently. So he took them up on the mountain to pray. And as he was praying, the appearance of his face was transformed and his clothes became dazzling white. So they're in a lower part, maybe a valley, and they're headed to the mountain, all right? So in let's look at Mark chapter 9, verse 1, all right? So I'm reading from the New Living Translation. That's important to know because translations translate things differently based upon certain criteria. I'll get a little more to that in a minute. But verse 1 says, verse 2, chapter 9. 6 days after Jesus took Peter, James, and John, so Luke says in about 8 days. Luke is about like I am with dates. Like, I don't know, man, it's 3 or 4 days ago, and Shay will be like, it was last week. You know, I'm like, okay, in the ballpark. Mark gets a little more specific, and he says, 6 days later, Jesus took Peter, James, and John and led them up a high mountain to be alone. You see the difference? They're just going up there to be alone. They're just hanging out, having a good time, little camp out. No, Luke tells us in his account, like, he's vague on the days, but he's very specific on the reason. All right? So he took them up the mountain to pray. As the men watched, everybody say watched. They were watching Jesus. As the men watched Jesus, his appearance was transformed and his clothes became dazzling white, far whiter than any earthly bleach could ever make them. So in other words, this isn't normal. This is supernatural
act that's happening here. And then it gets better. Verse 4 says, then Elijah and Moses appeared and began talking with Jesus. And Peter exclaimed, Rabbi, it's wonderful for us to be here. Let's make three shelters. In other words, temples. Let's make three shelters as memorials. One for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. He said this because he didn't really know what else to say, for they were all terrified. That's an important phrase. They didn't know what to do. Why did they not, what to say? Well, probably they went up to the mountain to pray, and while Jesus is getting down to business praying, they're over there watching him pray. Many times in the kingdom, we'll watch spiritual stuff. I'm just telling y'all, revivals, I grew up around revivals, but I get sick at some revivals. I ain't gonna lie to you. I'm just telling you, because there's a lot of spectators at revival, and you know, a few people down in the altar getting touches and stuff, and you'll see. I'm just telling you, man, God, please help me not get off on a soapbox on this, because I believe in revival. I'm not so crazy about events that we call revival, because I don't know that a lot of revival actually happens in there. People get it supercharged and yada, 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 yada. But man, I'm just telling y'all, we were in an altar service a few weeks ago, and I asked you to pray for some folks. I assigned myself to pray for these people in the middle, and Alan was praying for people over here, because now in some churches, boy, sit down. Have a seat, son. I got this. I got 35 years of ministry behind me. Glory to God, I've been saved for over 40 years. And these hands are the only ones, you know. But I signed you, me, because I'm like, man, that's how we do it around here. We believe in the priesthood of believers. Same Holy Ghost is in me. The same Holy Ghost is in everybody else. However, the amount of time you spend in his presence does affect the outcome. I'm just saying. And so we're praying, and I'm like, I know you're praying for people over here. I know you're praying for people over here. But I'm going to be flat out honest with you. I didn't know what was going on. I actually had to have a conversation with Alan later and like say, hey, fill me in. Because guess, I got somebody in front of me and I'm ministering, and this is my assignment right here, right now. And I knew I was missing what was going on. I knew I was missing that. But what was happening over there was not important for me at the moment, who was standing in front of me. And I'm just telling you, I've disciplined myself, and it's too, we don't have enough time to go into it, but my seventh grade teacher actually trained me in this. What's your seventh grade English teacher got to do with this? About paying attention. Yeah. She hated when somebody came in the room and she was talking or something, and everybody turned our attention to the door. And she said, do not ever take your eyes off of me. And pay attention to who walks in this room when I'm speaking to you, because they're coming in for some, I'm teaching you, I'm in command of this class, I'm the one who you need your attention on, all right? So whether you agree with that or not, it taught me as a person, pay attention to the most important thing that's going on and don't get distracted. And a lot of times in revivals, man, people will be, they won't be worshiping, drawing close to God, because they're trying to see who Sally fell out, man. I know that wasn't in the Holy Ghost because she bonked her head on the chair. You know, just all kind of crazy stuff. And we're not we're getting off. You see, we're getting off. And so what I'm saying, I'm getting back to the scripture here in a second, but what I'm saying is when I'm in the altar a couple of weeks ago, I'm like, I know I'm missing stuff. I can't be watching that, because I'm gonna miss what God has for this person in front of me. I am here to speak, and I am here to be a minister and pray for this person and partner with them. I'll find out what's going on there later. What's going on there later? Now, coming back to this, old Peter,
You gotta love him, man. He's always first to speak, first to pull his sword, first to get on the water. And he just says, man, we just need to, I feel like we need to build some temples here and, you know, and everything. And he's talking out of his mouth without putting any thought to it. It sounded spiritual. And the reason I believe that he did that according to scripture is because they were watching instead of being active in praying. They were spectators more than they were participators. And then in verse 7 it says, and then a cloud overshadowed them, and a voice from the cloud said, this is my beloved son. Listen to him. Suddenly, when he looked around, Moses and Elijah were gone, and they saw only Jesus with them. It wasn't just a normal cloud. It's the Shekinah glory of God that is there. I'm telling you, when you get in the presence of God, the Shekinah glory will begin to manifest as we grow in our ability to be in his presence. It might not happen the first few times that you do it or whatever. You might not feel that spiritual, but it's something that you grow into. Listen, these old boys right here that he drug up to the mountaintop, they ain't even paying attention to what's going on. They're looking at things that are manifesting from the spiritual, from the supernatural into the natural, and they're drawing earthly analogies. They're drawing earthly conclusions. But when you look at these guys later, we have the benefit of looking at the scripture chronologically, and we see the end, and we see what these young men became. They became mighty men of God, intercessors, apostles, warriors of the kingdom. They didn't look like it here, but they eventually did it because they kept practicing this. All right, verse 9, as they went back down the mountain, he told them not to tell anyone what they had seen until the Son of Man had risen from the dead. So, verse 10 says, they kept it to themselves, but they often asked each other what he meant by rising from the dead. See, they don't have all this together. They're piecing it, you know, together as Jesus is telling them different things. You don't have to have it all figured out, guys. You don't have to have your acts so together. You don't have to be a great theologian. You don't have to, you know, be, saved 40 years before you begin to put some, like, man, just get in. Just start swimming where you are. Just walk out into the water. Wade out into the river of God, wherever you are. I remember when I came into the faith, you know, Shay, she'd been raised in the church all her life. She raised in kids' church, youth group, all that. I come into the church, man, I'm just a reprobate. I come from a bunch of hellions, just redneck hellions. I didn't know nothing about God. I didn't know who Abraham was. I didn't know who Noah was. I don't know if you know that can even fathom. I mean, don't ask me who Luke is, dude. And God forbid you had pulled something out like Melchizedek. Like, I didn't know any of these people. I felt so limited, insecure, and inferior when I was around these kids because they had knowledge that I didn't have. And then I just made my mind up. Well, I can stay ignorant my whole life or I can start somewhere. And so I'm like, well, I learned who Jonah was today. Well, I learned who John was today. Well, I learned who the widow woman was today. So I just kept learning. And so over the next 40 years of my life, I have just been learning and learning and learning. And you would think that all those years behind me and some time at the university studying this stuff that I would know it all. And I still don't know it all because it's so deep. But deep calls unto deep. He'll call us into his word. And so they go back down the mountain. And so when they go back down the mountain, I'm going to jump to verse 14. When they returned to the other disciples, they saw a large crowd surrounding them and some teachers of religious law, and they were arguing. All right, so they've been in the presence of God, and they're fixing to walk into the presence of the enemy. All right, you need to understand, when you leave church today, when you leave When you go to work tomorrow, when you go to class tomorrow, wherever you're going to go, you're going to walk into the presence of the enemy. It just is a thing, guys. You're going to walk into the presence of the enemy. That's why it's important for us to be in times like this where we're in the presence of the power source. All right? And so as they walk down the mountain, verse 14, when they returned to the other side, they saw these religious leaders arguing. Verse 15 says, when the crowd saw Jesus, they were overwhelmed with awe. Why? Because they saw his face. Like they saw his appearance. He was like Moses who had been on the mountain, who when he came down, the only difference was Moses covered his up. Jesus wasn't about covering it up. He's like, it's gonna shine. They can like it or they can lump it. They can understand it or they can be offended by it. But when he comes down, they were drawn to him. And I'm telling you, it says they ran to greet Jesus. When you've been in the presence of God, people will run to your influence. They will run to you. Negativity repels people. The only thing negativity does is it will draw other familiar negative spirits. But when you're pleasant, when you're positive, when you're the light of the world, that's what they want to see. The world wants to see Jesus. And we're a reflection. All right? Verse 16, what's all this arguing about? Jesus asked, one of the men in the crowd spoke up and said, teacher, I brought my son so you could heal him. He's possessed by an evil spirit that won't let him talk. And whenever this spirit seizes him, it throws him violently to the ground. And then he foams at the mouth and grinds his teeth and becomes rigid. So I asked your disciples to cast out the evil spirit, but they couldn't do it. And Jesus said to them, you faithless people, how long must I be with you? How long must I put up with you? Bring the boy to me. See, church folks, they just trip me out. Church folks, their idea of Jesus is, bring the boy to me. The power of God is upon me. Everything will be okay. I'm not upset with you all. You're growing in me. Like I'm just telling you, man. Jesus, he is like, y'all get on my nerves. How long have we spent? I mean, we walked from Galilee to Jerusalem, and all the time I was talking about the authority you have. I give you this authority. I teach you how to cast devils out. I do all of this. I come down. Y'all can't cast out one devil, not one. I mean, I cast out legion, thousands upon thousands of them, and you can't cast out one. For the love of me, y'all get on my nerves. I'm tired of dealing with y'all. That's my interpretation of what's happening here, because it's like you can kind of read it, can't you? Yeah. They're getting on his nerves a little bit. And I'm not going to go deep into this, but Jesus said in verse 21, so how long has this been happening? He asked the boy's father, and the father replied, since he was a little boy, the spirit, which shows you that children can be demonized. So the spirit often throws them in his fire and water, trying to kill him. Have mercy on us. Help us if you can. I love this. Verse 23 says, what do you mean if I can? Like, are you serious? This is my interpretation and my tonality, okay? He might have said it like, what do you mean if I can? You know, but I'm just looking at it and I'm going, he's like, what do you mean if I can? Of course I can. Like, I've just had a, you know, Holy Ghost staff meeting at the top of that mountain right there. I've been in the presence of God. Do you not see my face? Like, of course I can. I'm just telling you, guys, what if we walked around with that kind of authority? Like, man, the enemy hits us with whatever. Because, like, we truly walk throughout our days and we're like, oh, crap. Ooh, ah. We're not used to those sucker punches that the enemy throws at us. And it's like, man, I'm just telling you, I hate that it's taken me this long to get with the program. But I see myself in this stage of my life that it's like, oh, yeah, that's okay. We're going to brush that off. We're going to brush that off. I hope I get to the point where it's like, yeah, it's nothing. It's just nothing. Because here's the deal. Like, of course, can you cast out a devil? Of course you can. Can you overcome this? Of course you can. Can your marriage be better? Of course it can. Can your finances improve? Of course they can. Can your health, can you speak to that cancer and it be gone? Of course you can. Like, of course we can, because the authority of God that's in us. But again, the power that we have correlates to the time that we spend with God. Listen, don't get into a religious mindset, because sometimes I can't tell where you are. Only you know where you are, and sometimes you don't even know where you are. But when you begin to hear the time correlates with the time you spend with God, well, my God, I need to be spending, you know, at least, you know, 3 or 4 hours or whatever. Listen, I'm just telling you, I've heard people tell me before, man, I spend 8 hours a day, I spend 6 hours a day, I spend 5 hours a day. And I'm like, well, Jesus, you're going to have to fast track me, because I ain't going to be able to do that today. You know what I'm saying? So don't begin to put yours in somebody else's and take on their mantle and take on their armor, if you will. Yeah. You know, you got to find out what works for you. But you know when you're spending quality time with God. You know when you are, and you know when you're not. And so he goes ahead and he casts the devil out and all of that. But in verse 29, look at verse 28. Afterwards, when he cast them out, Jesus was alone in the house with his disciples. And they asked him, why couldn't we cast out that evil spirit? And Jesus replied, this kind can be cast out only by prayer. All right. Now, in some of your versions, it says, and fasting. If you want to, you can get hung up on this if you want to. I ain't going to get hung up on it. I don't really care. In Judaism, if you're fasting, you're praying. All right. If you're praying, at some point you're fasting. They just go intricately together. You know what I'm saying? They just go together. They're disciplines that feed off of each other. The reason that this is not in some translations, there's about 4 or 5 translations that don't do this, because these use the earliest manuscripts of the text. And in the earliest manuscripts that we have found in the Christian community, and fasting is not in there. Now, it doesn't mean that some earlier ones don't exist, and maybe, so you see, there's all kind of reasons why it couldn't be in there. Some say some scribe added it afterwards as he was making copies of the translation. He decided that he wanted to add some words. It could also be that there were earlier manuscripts that we just don't have, that we don't know where those are. But here's what the reason that we go with that is because the majority of texts that we have it in there. Are you following me? If you ever have questions about that, I'd be glad to have a conversation, because I tried to have conversations like this with my mama and it just blew her mind. She's like, I can't understand that now, you know, and I'm like, hey, I get it, mama. It's a little complicated, but it's really simple. We go back to the earliest manuscripts. The earliest manuscripts do not have "and fasting" in there, all right? Why am I taking time? Because I want you to know your Bible's not wrong, all right? But fast forward, there are manuscripts with it in there. And so the majority of the texts that we have "and fasting" with prayer in there. It's just that those earliest copies that we found don't. So don't get tied up in that, because that's a technical thing. Go with the culturally relevant thing, that in Judaism, Fasting and prayer go hand in hand. They go hand in hand. And so he says, listen, this kind can be cast out only by prayer and fasting. Listen, I'm just telling you, in the hierarchy of demonic spirits, and we know we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against rulers, authorities, and powers in high places. So it gives this echelon, this hierarchy. And listen, the natural mirrors the supernatural. Don't we have hierarchies in our military? Don't we have hierarchies in our government? So where do we get that from? We get that from the spiritual realm. And so there are some devils that, man, I'm just telling you, that's no big deal. That's no big deal. Like, I was talking with somebody in my family recently, and they were like, you don't understand. And it's like, I do understand. I just don't fight with that devil. Like, that devil knows that's not a battle you're going to be able to engage me in, because I'll overcome you every time. And that ain't even a, you know, that's like a, you know. I'm like, that's what my spiritual battle with that one looks like. It's like he tries to start messing with me, and I'm just like, psh, you know, kick it. Psh. It's no big deal for me, but it is a huge deal for them, okay? And then there are some demons that I'm telling you what, don't think that all demons are the same. Yeah. They're not. And some of them, you'll be trying to go, psh, when it's like, psh. Did you get that? It's like you'll be trying to go, psh, and it'll go, psh, or psh, poo, because it's a tough demon. It's a principality. Y'all know I've talked about those. Some that have been assigned to our church. Those are not things to take lightly. They're not. I mean, and when they get a stronghold, or they take their assignment. If we took our assignment as serious as demons take their assignment, man, we'd take the kingdom by force. The righteous take it by force. But I'm telling you what, when an enemy is assigned, they take their assignment seriously, and they will dig in and will not let go. Takes a certain level of authority. Jesus is pointing this out to us right here. He's like, that kind only comes out by prayer and fasting. Like, that was a tough one. That wasn't like that one that, who was it, Paul and maybe Silas, I think, that little girl was following them, and she was demon-possessed, and she it looked like she was religious, because she's like, these mighty men of God. But what it was is that spirit was a religious spirit that was trying to just sow chaos, and they just said, look, you got to get out of here in Jesus' name. And that spirit, you know, just went. This is not that. This has had a stronghold on this little boy since, you know, he was a little kid. And it's one of seizures and convulsions and dumbness, deafness, those kinds of things. And so this is a tougher spirit. I'm telling you, there are some battles that you're fighting in your life that you're not just going to come to church and hear a cute 3-point sermon that is going to fix that for you. Because you don't understand, that devil, if he could, he would kill you. He can't, but if he could, he would kill you. And you know, that's the tormenting spirit, the one that will show up at your bed at the end of your bed at night in form. And I'm going to tell you that, I'm telling you, if that joker shows up at my house, I'm going to say, I'm not lying. This is how I'm going to handle that, because I've had a demon show up at my house before. This is how I'm going to handle that. Listen, man, I'm trying to get some sleep. If you want to, you come back tomorrow and we might fight, but I'm just telling you right now, I'm going to sleep. That's the end of this, and I'm just going back to sleep. And you ain't going to stay around my bed. You're not going to linger at my bed while I'm trying to sleep. You know, this ain't no paranormal activity right here. This is like, you get out of my house. The end. All right? So, let me try to wrap this up. What can we learn about the time spent in God's presence? Look at these four things. Number one, who did he take? Peter, James, John. So James and John are brothers. Jesus gave them those are some passionate, fiery boys. He's like, man, y'all are the sons of thunder. Whenever y'all roll into town, y'all make some noise.
That's right. That's right, man. No devil gonna mess with us.
You know, it's like he gave them a nickname, sons of thunder. Who did he take? Peter, James, John. These are the guys who show the most passion. These are the guys who, man, I'm just telling you, they got their sword out before anybody can even get up off the ground. They already got their sword out swinging. These are the passionate ones. So what can we learn? Like when we go into the presence of God, God is looking for people who are passionate. Like, he's looking, and your passion might look different from my passion. I've had to kind of wrap my head around that. There are people who are not loud that are passionate. There are people who are, they're passionate in different ways. Listen, I don't care how your passion manifests. It just got to manifest somehow. God is looking for passionate people. So he brought passionate people with him. Look at this. Where did he take them? He took them to the mountain. Every time we look at a mountain experience, it's almost always a high experience. It's an experience where we get closer and deeper with God. As a matter of fact, you know, he's on cloud 9, or he's on the mountain, or he had a mountaintop experience. We even say that in our everyday language. Even non-Christians say things like that to connote, to define like these intense moments. And so what God wants to do is he wants to take us into a place where we will have an experience with him intimately. It was a place where, you know, at the mountain, listen to me, my friends, not everybody is going to go to the top of the mountain. Like, you'll have a crowd down in the valley, but not at the top of the mountain. I told y'all the story. We're getting ready to the pastors to go on our annual prayer retreat where we get together with pastors from around Baldwin County and go up there. And sometimes on a day we'll take and do some kind of activity. And there's some of those guys, and it's like, I ain't one of those guys. You know what I'm saying? Pastor Wesley, are you one of them? Man, they're going to march us to the top of the sixth tallest mountain. I don't know if it was in the southeast or in Georgia, but that joker was high. And I'm like, I ain't having fun. I'm not having fun. And I've told y'all a little bit, like, you know, you got this, I'm not even lying to you, 70-year-old women coming down the mountain. And I'm looking, I'm going, is it worth it? And look, they're looking like, oh, it's so worth it. When you get to the top of the mountain, the view is amazing. Don't give up, son. Don't give up. And I'm like, Jesus. And I'm going, and it's like, oh, my God. I cannot feel my legs. God is my witness. I am not joking. When we got to the top of that mountain, I'm just telling you, there wasn't many people up there. As a matter of fact, it was our group, half of us. The others were strewn down the mountain. And there was like, what, maybe two other people up there? And it's impressive, man. And I'm just like, wow. And while we were at the top of that mountain, there was an incredible experience that happened, and we didn't even ask for it. Remember that? I won't go into that for time's sake, but we didn't even ask for it, because at the top of the mountain, there's only going to be people who were serious about getting there. I can't tell you how many times I wanted to give up, but I kept thinking of those smiling little old ladies, and I'm like, you old lady, you're not going to beat me. I won't be done, outdone, you know, and I'm like, you know, they spurred me on. Why did he take them? He didn't take them for a vacation. He didn't take them for, fellowship. He took them to pray. He took them to draw close to them, to him. He took them so he could draw close to That's what happens in the presence of God. We come, we draw close to him, he draws close to us. It's a mutual moving towards each other. That's biblical. The scripture says, draw close to me and I will draw close to you. The scripture also says this, if you seek me, you will find me. If you seek me, you're going to find me. It's not like, you know, we're trying to seek him in the secret place. We're trying to seek him and God goes, ooh, uh-oh, hang on now, y'all are getting a little close. I'm trying to be elusive here. No, God wants to be found. He wants to be found. So why did he take them? To draw close in intimacy. And then why did he take them? Why did he take them? But why did he take them? Because they were hungry. Because they were passionate. Because they were willing. Not because they were the smartest. Not because they, you know, had all these boxes to check off. We see when they got to the top that it showed their immaturity and inexperience in the Lord. But they were willing to go. And in the presence of God on your mountaintop and my mountaintop, we're going to learn some things about us. I don't know if they were spiritually self-aware to know, oh yeah, man, I should have been praying the whole time. I probably would have had a better idea. Or no ideas at all and just listen to God ideas. In the presence, in your experience, you're going to find out what God wants. Because see, if they had gone on Peter's suggestion, it's like they would have been building three churches up there. They would have been building Daphne South and Daphne North Campus and Daphne East Campus. And sometimes, man, I'm just telling you, it's a good idea, but it ain't a God idea. And a lot of times what'll happen is if you're not paying attention and you're just watching, you'll have a lot of good ideas and not God ideas. And what'll happen is you'll get inspired and motivated and you'll get hyped up. Man, I'm just telling y'all, I love Black Church. Y'all got to pray us in some musicians that know how to do that thing. They can flat out, in my friends who, they've got Black musicians, I'm telling you what, they can get into the presence so fast. Lola is one of those, like for years, I don't even know what you're doing now, but for years, I'm just telling you what, that woman, she played piano for the church that I was youth pastor and administrative pastor for years, and I'm just telling you what, man, she knows how to go there. She knows how to get you there. Don't just play music, but they know how to get into the presence of God. And I'm telling you what, God is looking for people that are going, I ain't the best prayer. I'm not the most, you know, this, that, or the other, but I'm here because I want to draw close to God, and I promise you God will begin to reveal some stuff to you during those times. All right, I'm trying to stop, play the stop music, and so what can we learn about this time in God's presence? You had those, but here's what you're going to experience. When we fast together, we can expect this. Holy Spirit is going to be active. Now, when Jesus was led into the wilderness in Luke chapter 4, it says Jesus was led into the wilderness by the Holy Spirit. Then, when they went to the mountain, they were led to the top of the mountain by Jesus. In those places, you're going to find that Holy Spirit, when you get alone with him, he's going to start speaking to you. It might take some of you a little bit of time, but I promise you, he is. I declare it and prophesy it to you. God's going to start speaking to you. Some of y'all think you don't know how to hear Holy Spirit. It's all right. You get in his presence. I promise you, you start focusing on him. Transformation precedes demonstration. Like when you go into his presence, Jesus was transformed so that when he goes down off of that mountain, you understand So many times people don't capture this. You understand, Jesus, when he came down off the mountain, he cast that devil out as Jesus the man. Not Jesus God. That's no big deal. Are you following me? I mean, Jesus the God is like, you know, no. He cast that devil out as Jesus the man who had been on the mountaintop in the presence of God, that when he goes down the mountain as Jesus the man, empowered by the Holy Spirit, that's why the Spirit of God said in the cloud, "This is my son, listen to him. He's full of the Holy Ghost, and he's fixing to go down there, and he's fixing to kick butt, and he's fixing to take names. He's going to cast some devils out." But that transformation had to happen before the demonstration. And what happens in the church, I see this all the time in different kind of conferences, different kinds of things. We see demonstration trying to be forced when you can tell there's been no time of transformation. I'm just telling you, man. The enemy, he can get some miracles happening. The enemy can get some signs and wonders happening, but true manifestation of God's glory happens when we are transformed in his presence. Look at this one. Satan is going to be a distraction. So just as Holy Spirit will be active, so will Satan. Satan is going to be a distraction. When you begin to fast this week, over the next 21 days, if you join us, you need to go ahead, put your mind to the fact that, all right, I don't know how, I don't know when, but I know the enemy is going to manifest. So empower yourself in his presence so that when he tries to sucker punch you, that you're not caught off guard. All right? You're going to have to remind Shay, you're going to have to remind me, and I'm going to have to remind you that we need to be on our guard as a couple. And look at this one. The more unified we are, the more powerful we are. When we come into a place where we have agreement, they went to the mountain to pray. They went to the Garden of Gethsemane to pray. When we pray together in unison, in one voice, one focal point, we are more powerful in the spiritual realm. And the last thing is this. Some castings only come out through fasting. Some casting out will only come about through fasting. There are some things, man, that I've wanted to break off of our church. I'm just being honest with you. I'm tired of fighting those same devils. I'm just tired. I don't care if they got an assignment against us. And I believe the Lord revealed that to me. I'm tired of fighting those devils. I'm tired of seeing that manifest over and over and over again. It's time for the Lord to take us to another level in the prophetic realm. Are you following me? Are you following me? And some castings, like that devil, that stronghold, that assignment is broken through this kind of coming together. All right? So say this with me. Time spent in God's presence increases my power over the enemy. Now, how are you going to partner with this house? And I realize we have people who are not a part of our regular house here. So how are you going to partner with this word? Number one, this is what I'm going to ask you to do. I'm going to ask you to join us in our 21-day Prepare the Way fast. For 21 days, in some facet, I'm asking you for 21 consecutive days to partner. Don't shut down and go, "Pastor Rife, I can't do without food." Don't focus on that. You get your mind on the wrong thing, because I'm going to tell you how you can do it. But if you'll commit to 21 days, Pastor, I'm going to come into covenant with you and this church, and I'm going to pray for you and this house for 21 days. The second thing is this. Determine what you'll give up. So this week, you've got a whole week to determine what is it that you will give up. Well, I'm going to give up Tutti Frutti cake or something. Listen,
If it's not a sacrifice, it's not an offering worthy of giving. David said, I will not offer to the Lord something that didn't cost me a sacrifice. It's got to be a sacrifice. Look for something in your life that you could sacrifice, and then don't moan about it. Don't moan about it. Man, I'm so hungry. I'm looking at that. Don't moan about it. If you're out at lunch, act like you got a full stomach if you're not eating and your cohort or business friends are eating. I do that all the time. I'm like, hey, man, I'm just not eating this meal. I just don't tell them that I'm fasting. I'm just not eating this meal, but I'll have a drink and we'll sit and talk while you eat. That's it. I don't show up and go, man, I'm so hungry. Could I just lick that baked potato? You know, I've been on this fast and it's about to kill me. No. We're not supposed to do that because it's private, all right? Then this one. Follow along with our daily prayer focus. This is going to be sent out to our church-wide. I'll have a link that if you want to, you can go print you a copy out. If you are digital, then it'll be sent to you in a digital format every day. Now, I'm doing all I can to prepare you. I can't make you do it. I'm not going to beg you to do it. I need passionate people who are like, God, Pastor Rife, it's time. It's time. And every day you'll be either sent or you can read online a prayer. It's just a brief devotion for that topic that day. It's got a prayer in there. Now, I'm not much on like reading a prayer out, but some people, that's where they need to start. But you use it to jumpstart you however you can to pray over that need for that day and anything else that you're looking for. And then it's got some practical, this is how you put that into effect today, this week. It's going to be really good. I've spent a lot of time putting this together, and I believe it will help you. I believe it will help our church. So I'm going to ask you to stand. I've shared with you an entire series on fasting in one message. I tried to give you this entire series in one message because next week we're moving into a different direction. But I wanted to try to set you up with this as much as I could. So, is everybody clear on their assignment? All right. As Pastor Wesley said this morning, that when we give, we're supposed to give passionately, not out of compulsion, not out of obligation. Listen, I'm taking off of you right now. There is no obligation for you to fast. There's no obligation. I'm not trying to make you feel like junior Christian if you don't.
If you don't do this, I'm just going to tell you, you ain't really saved. You don't really care about this house.
No, none of that. None of that. That's compulsion. I'm calling forth the passionate followers of Christ to move into a season that if you'll allow me, I'll help you and guide you through it. And this will be the best fast that you will have ever participated in. And we will see amazing God results like we've never seen before. It's not going to come without a fight, and hell is going to break loose. For some of you, it may be before the sun sets today, but you walk out of this house and you understand the devil is coming for you, but God is with you. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world, and you have nothing to fear, and you will stand up and you will say, what do you mean if I can? What do you mean if I can? Of course I can, because I am empowered by Holy Spirit. God, as we walk out of this place today, my prayer over this church family is that we would be more keenly aware of your power and your presence than we ever have been before in our life, that we are walking giants among the biggest devil, because your spirit resides in us and you have given us all authority. Not just a little bit, not just regional. You've given us all authority over any demon that could come towards us or against us. In the beautiful name of Jesus, amen.